This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
How's everybody today? Okay, how's everybody today? Good. All right, that's better. I didn't know for a second. I didn't know if there was anybody out there or not, but you're out there. That's good. If you have your Bibles, John chapter 14, we gave you like three different ways to find the message notes, so I hope that's not confusing. There are paper copies on either side of the sound booth. You can also get our app, and also you can pull it up on the QR code. So we want you to be able to follow along today as we continue to go into God's Word and continue to chase down who Jesus is and how we can know Him, how we can relate to Him, and what He can do in our lives. So I don't know how you guys are doing while you're doing that. Be thinking about, I'm busy these days. I don't know about anybody else. It's just a busy time. I got a ton going on. And I know God's working. I know there's stuff kind of on the other side of the stuff I got to do. You ever been there before? Like there's stuff that you're looking forward to, but you got to get through the stuff to get to the stuff. And that's exactly where I am right now. And I know God's working. And I was talking to my neighbor, and I was just telling him what we have going on and that kind of stuff. And I said, it's kind of like when I went river rafting and I was on the boat and we were in the calm water and then it is the rapids. And everything's good. You're like really just happy. Everything's good. You look at the rapids and go, that looks really cool. It's going to be fun. But I'm a little bit afraid. You ever been there before? That little bit, I'm excited, but there's that pit in your stomach thing. I got to get through the exams. I got to get through the work to get there. It's like the roller coaster effect. You know what I'm talking about? You're at the top and that feeling in your stomach, you can feel it now, and you got to go over the edge, and you're excited, and you're nervous, and you want to scream. You've never been there before, and I just feel that way sometimes. I don't know about you, but I think that's kind of where I am right now, looking forward to what God has, but I got to get there. Maybe you feel that way. Maybe like you're, and I've talked to several people about this, so I'm not talking about anybody in the room, but you're like getting engaged, you're getting ready to get married, and you got that feeling in your stomach, like I'm excited, but I got a lot of stuff to plan. I got to get that wedding going. I got all this stuff going. Maybe that's you. Or you're like Carson, and Carson's preparing to start a new ministry, and he's got to get there, right? He's got all this moving to do, all this preparation. God's got him in position to do this, but it's got to get there. And so there's excitement, but also a little bit of fear, a little bit of nervousness, what's going to happen. You ever bought a house? You know the feeling about that. You got your house up for sale. Go, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? A little bit of excitement, we're in a new place. A little bit of fear, we're going to be able to do that. We got to move. I hate moving. I absolutely hate moving. But you got to get through it to get to the new place. And sometimes God has something greater for us that we have to get through something to get there, something better. And He always has a good plan. We just got to get through some stuff sometime to get there. Today, as we talk about and we look at John chapter 14, because that's where we're tracking, Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples. His mind is already on the joy of the resurrection and beyond. But he's got to get through the cross. We usually think like it's Thursday night, he's got these guys in the upper room, and we think, okay, all he's got his mind on is the cross, and that's part of it. But there's also like, hey, if I get through this, the joy before me, I just got to get there. I got to get through Friday. I got to get through Saturday. I got to get through all this stuff, but then I'll rise again, my Father will work, and then I'll be at the right hand, and I'll experience the joy. And so I think he's feeling that way. And then he makes this announcement, this teaching for them that's extraordinary. If you really take it at face value, what Jesus is going to tell us today is extraordinary. And if we really live this out in our life, we're going to see him in new ways. And I hope it'll make that time of fear to get to something greater and something better. I hope it makes it easier to go through and to prepare for as you're looking for God to work. So John chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, just three verses today, but it really is cool the way God has arranged this to be today. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Extraordinary words. Extraordinary words. And before we go on, let's just pray over these words. Father God, Jesus said something that's hard for me to fully grasp what it means and how to live it out. And it may be the same for other people if we take Jesus at his word. And so I pray that you'll teach us what this means for us and how we can live it out. In the name of Jesus, amen. Did you catch the extraordinary thing that Jesus said? In verse 12, he says, look, you're going to do the work that I do, and you're going to do even greater than I did. And I hear that, and you're taking it face value. You go, is that even possible? Do I really believe him at this moment, or is this something that sounds a bit crazy, that we're going to do the works that Jesus did, and even greater? And because Jesus tells the truth, and he actually starts off and says, truly, truly, I say this. Then we go, okay, it is truth. Jesus did some amazing things. A group of people were hungry, well over 5,000 people, and he provided for them. He says, you're going to do this, not the same way that I've done it, but you're going to provide for thousands of people to eat. And we've seen that here at the church. He's given out thousands of pounds of food to thousands of people, more than 5,000, more than 10,000. It's not us, it's God working through us. And that's the kind of thing he's saying. You will do greater works than I did, and I'll do it through you. He had all kinds of people come to him with issues and problems. Some needed acceptance. Some needed him to work in their life in extraordinary ways. Some needed healing. Some had demon possession. Some of them were simply dealing with family issues. Some had extraordinary problems where a family member had passed and they had to deal with it. And Jesus said, you're going to do that kind of work, not necessarily in the same way I did, but you're going to do even greater things. And I listen to that and I go, man, I would love to be used in my life to do the works that Jesus did and even greater. To see beyond what we can do in our own power and to see what he can do through us. So maybe you've got a question about yourself or a friend that's around you that's dealing with some issues. Maybe you have relationship issues around you or in your family and you're going, I don't know how to solve this. And you're going, Jesus, I need a breakthrough. I need to see greater things in my relationship with my kids. I need to see greater things in my relationship with my spouse. I need to see greater things in my relationship with my friends. Jesus, I need to see greater things. Maybe it's emotional stuff. You're in a period of depression or sadness or grief. And you're, Jesus, I need you to do greater things in me. You said this was possible. I need to see that. I need a breakthrough in this area. Jesus, I'm dealing with some spiritual issues. I question. I wonder. I'm not as close as I want to be. I'd love to pray differently. I'm dealing with this addiction. I can't stop. I need you to come in and give me strength. I need you to do greater things in my life. Jesus, I'm dealing with financial issues. I don't know how to pay the bills. My job isn't going right. I don't know how to make ends meet. They're beyond my limits. Jesus, I need you to do greater things in my life. And Jesus, I'm having some mental health issues, and I need you to do greater things in my life. And I just need you to work in my life. And I love this thing about Jesus. He makes these promises. He makes these statements. He said, you will. You will do greater things. And the way you do it, if you looked at the last two verses, is so simple. You're going to pray. You're going to ask. And that's how we do greater things. I don't know where your prayer life is today. I don't know kind of how you're relating to God. Maybe it's really simple, like just simple prayers. And that's awesome. But today I want to talk about how to pray for greater things. And we're going to talk about what does that look like. There's six truths we're going to look at of how to pray for greater things if you want God to work. Now, if you're fine with your life and you're fine with your life, then you're not looking for God to do greater things. So this may not impact you. But if you're looking for greater things in your life and the people around you's life today, there's going to be some real simple things. Some you'll know, but maybe you don't apply as deeply as you could. Some you don't know. And so this is why we want to go through this. What does God say about praying for greater things? And there's six things. So let's look at those on your outline. Number one, if you want to pray for greater things in your life and other people's lives, it starts off this way. It requires faith. It requires faith. You probably knew we were going to start there. It requires faith. In verse 12, Jesus speaking says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. Whoever believes in me. John, as a writer, keeps coming back. He keeps remembering all the things that Jesus said about faith and believing. It's over and over and over. And here's what we have to understand. It's not faith or belief in prayer. It's not faith or belief in the power of prayer. It's not simply looking at belief in the scripture. It's believing a person, Jesus Christ. I believe, Jesus, that you can do greater things. I believe, Jesus, you did great things. I believe you still want to do great things. I believe you can even do it through someone like me, as flawed as I am, because of who you are, you can do them, not because of who I am. It requires faith to really trust God that he's going to work. You know, Jesus is our advocate even right now. It's what he's doing. It's what he looked forward to. He's standing up for us. We have a lawyer. We went to Wilmington yesterday or Friday to go see our son, Micah. And along the way, there's a sign that says, Abogado Pedro. It means lawyer Pedro. And he's like pointing at you like, I'm your lawyer. So we see this sign over and over and over on the way down there. And he's saying, I'll stand up for you kind of deal. I'll be your lawyer. And it's like Jesus is saying, I'm already your advocate. I'm standing up for you. I'm standing up for you. Do we believe he's doing that? In Matthew 21, verse 22, Jesus said this about prayer. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. If you have faith. That's where we start. Do we trust? There's a short poem, I guess it is, short statement that's floating around. You may have seen it on Facebook. It got passed to me by several people on email. I really like it. This is what it says. When you pray, God listens. Do you believe that? Do you believe that when you pray, God is actually listening to you? And then it says, when you listen, God speaks. That's exactly what our small group is talking about tonight. When you pray, God listens. When you listen, God speaks. When you're quiet. And I love this one. When you believe, God works. When you act on that belief, when you're moving forward, when you're saying, God, I'm scared. You have something in front of me. I'm a little nervous, but I know you're out there. Jesus, I know that you promised. I don't see it yet, but you're going to come through. I'm just going to keep going. I believe you. I believe you. You're going to keep your word. For each one of these, we have a question to ask yourself to evaluate your prayer life. So today, as you sit down and pray, or tomorrow morning, ask yourself this question. Do I really believe God answers prayer? Do I really believe that? Do I believe he's listening to me? Do I believe he is speaking to me? Do I believe that God really answers prayers? It's a great question to ask yourself. Are you really there yet? And if not, it's a simple prayer. God, help me believe. Help me believe that you are listening and you're going to answer. Number two, the second thing, if we want to see God do greater things, is simply this. You have to ask a prayer, or pray a prayer, so that we'll glorify God. So we'll glorify God. That's what he's looking to do. This is what Jesus said, shine a light on the Father. Make sure he gets the credit. Make sure people see him when you pray so that he gets the glory and not you. John 14, 13. Jesus is speaking in what we just read. Whatever you ask him in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. He's saying, look, when I fed the 5,000, God got the glory. My Father got the glory. When I calmed the storm, my Father got the glory. Peter, when you walked on water, my Father got the glory. That wasn't you. When I brought healing to people, my Father got the glory. God's at work. Let's tell the story. Let's let everybody know what God can do. I'm going to shine the light. I'm going to pass the glory to God. I want him to be known. I ran into a quote from a 1600s era preacher. His name was John Flavel, and I really like this. This is the quote. Man's extremities are God's opportunities. Man's extremities are God's opportunities. And what he meant by that is you have limits. You have limits. Can you tell the person near you that you have limits? Can you just turn and look at them and say, you have limits? Just let them know you have limits. You got to smile when you say it. You've got limits. You're good. You're a great person, but you've got some limits. I have limits. I can't do everything I want to do. There's things that I don't know. There's things I don't have the ability to do. And yet it's stated, and it's this truth, that at those places where God is seen, at our extremities where you can't do something, that's where God can work. And then you can say, that was God and not me. And God gets the glory when you do that. I love stories about those things. I've got a really simple story, but it affects this church. So I'm going to tell this story for God's glory. We had a lawnmower. It was a great lawnmower. It was an awesome lawnmower. It was a John Deere lawnmower, okay? It's what they mow the church with. Our grounds team does that. So the lawnmower was broken, and it was not worth repairing, they told us. So what do? We sent the word out. We need a lawnmower. It was crickets. Nobody had a lawnmower, right? They looked on Marketplace. There were lawnmowers, but we didn't have any money to pay for a new lawnmower. So what they decided to do is we're going to sell ours, see what happens. We got $400 for our lawnmower. $400, right? Have you priced lawnmowers lately? I drove one in Bethania, and I pulled over to go see how much it was. It was a zero turn. and it had a little trailer. It was all orange. It was really cute. And I go, oh, that's really cool. I'm going to see how much this is. $10,500. I go, that's crazy talk, right? Who's going to pay that kind of money for a lawnmower? Still sitting there. If anybody wants one, zero turn. It'd probably be sitting there for eternity. You can buy two cars for that, maybe more. But there's $10,500. What are we going to do, God? So they searched, they looked and everything. And so Bob Fye, who's in charge of the grounds team, his brother-in-law's up in Ohio. And he said, we've got one at our church. The guy at our church has one. It's a John Deere, because you got to be a John Deere. And it's $1,300. We don't have $1,300, but that's at least closer than $10,500. They go, it comes with a snowplow. We don't need a snowplow in here. Keep that in Ohio, okay? What will it be if you just take it? You're like, we'll take the snowplow off, and what do you want then? And they go, we'll talk about it. We'll get back to you. So they got back. They said, we'll give it to you. We'll give you the lawnmower. You just got to come get it, all right? So that's where Bob is today. He's bringing the lawnmower home. We're going to cheer when he comes back, right? But it's so cool. I said, Bob, look what happened. The lawnmower got wrecked. You got a new lawnmower. It's a John Deere. And you got paid $400. I mean, how does God do this kind of thing, right? We just shine the glory on God. So that's just a small thing, I know. But it's just the work of God. You probably have stories about that, too. You couldn't see a way through. You prayed. God did something. So the story begins like this. I didn't know what to do. I'm at my limit. But then God showed up. Now I have a God story. When you have a God story, you want to tell the God story, right? This is what God can do. So it encourages people. It builds them up so they know. So here's the question to ask yourself about your prayer life today. You can ask it as you pray. Do I want to see God glorified in my prayers? It's a simple question. When I pray, do I want the glory? Do I want God glorified in my prayers? Do I want people to see God? If you want God to be glorified, you got to pray for greater things. If you can do it, you get the glory. If you're in a situation where you can't do it, you're in the perfect situation for God to be glorified. Pray for greater things beyond what you can do. That's number two. Number three, when you want to see God do greater things, that prayer is done in the name of Jesus or in Jesus' name. This is what he taught twice in these verses, done in Jesus' name. He says in verse 14, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So what does that mean? To ask in the name of Jesus is to ask under his authority. Jesus, you're the Lord of the universe. I ask in your authority, not mine. It's like an ambassador that represents our nation. Ambassador lives in another nation, represents our country. When the ambassador speaks, they speak on the authority of our government. We speak and we pray under Jesus' authority. To pray in the name of Jesus is to pray and ask for the power of Jesus behind it. To pray in the name of Jesus is to pray in the way Jesus would pray. I want to pray like Jesus prayed. You want to know how Jesus prayed? Look in the scriptures. Jesus prayed, and we have some of them written down. And Jesus did some cool things when he prayed. He said he looked up. He looked up to heaven to see his Father. He wanted his Father to be glorified. So that's part of what we pray, is simply asking in Jesus' name. So the question we ask ourselves on this one, am I praying prayers that Jesus would pray? Ask yourself that. When you pray today, tomorrow morning, tonight, is this the kind of prayer that Jesus would pray? Would he pray for something that would look like what I'm praying? If so, then I'll pray it. If not, I want to modify it. God, would you show me how to pray like Jesus prayed? And he taught us how to pray. The next one, number four, when you pray to see greater things, it has to be according to God's will. According to God's will. This one's something we learn how to do. It doesn't come naturally to us. We want what we want when we want it, right? Isn't that what little kids do? I want it now. And most of us are still little kids on the inside. I want it now. John wrote this in 1 John chapter 5. And John kept writing, you know, after the gospel. He wrote three letters, and this is just one of them. And he wrote this. This is the confidence that we have toward him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. He's listening. And if we know that he hears us and whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. We know. We know with confidence that he hears us when we pray for the will of the Father. It has to be aligned with it. Your heart has to be aligned with the Father's heart so you can pray in the line that he wants you to. Have you ever had a car that's out of alignment? You ever had that before? And you take your hands off the steering wheel and it goes to the right or to the left unless you have the driver assist and it pulls you back, right? But if your car is out of alignment, you let go, it will go off if it's not aligned correctly. I like to ride my bicycle a lot of places, and the other day I was riding and I go, man, I'm getting old and I'm tired and I'm out of shape. It felt really sluggish, and I would do this route all the time. I go, this is just tough. And I was like going along going, this is not good. And I got home and I spun the wheel. It wouldn't even go around once. It was out of alignment with the brake. I had the brake on the whole time because it was out of alignment. So the whole time I'm fighting against the brake. And that's not a good thing. It took a simple adjustment. Move the brake over slightly, quarter of an inch, spun the wheel, spun freely. We pray sometimes and we ask and we ask and we ask and it feels like nothing's happening. And maybe the thing to do is stop and go, am I praying the wrong thing? Maybe I'm just praying for my will. Maybe I need to stop and simply say, God, am I not praying your will? Because if I'm not, change me. Change me. So the question to ask yourself at the end of the day, are my prayers aligned with God's will? Check it. Ask him. Because he's listening. You can go with his promises. He's listening. Are we praying in alignment with God's will? You want to make sure that we are. Number five, we want to pray for greater things. It requires persistence. And this is probably, to me, the hardest one. I want it to happen the way it happened in Jesus' life. He spoke and it happened. Sometimes that's true. Sometimes it takes time and it requires patience. Jesus in Luke 18:1 told a parable. And it says this, he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not to lose heart. In other words, there's times you may have to pray for it every day for a period of time. You may need to pray the same thing for months, for years. You may need to pray until you just see God answer. This is a hard one. It's saying, God, I know you're listening because you promised. I know you're going to work because you promised. I know you're going to change my heart to pray in alignment with your wills because you promised. I get all that, but I'm not seeing it. Where are you? And he says, keep praying. The simple parable he told was one you probably know. There was a judge, and he was a corrupt judge, and a widow kept coming to him wanting justice. He didn't care. He was a corrupt judge. He just kept listening to her every day and said, no, 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 no. And finally, she wore him down. And he finally said, okay, I'll give you justice. And Jesus says, look, my father is not corrupt. He's not corrupt. He will answer. You just got to keep praying. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 through 18, Paul wrote this, always be joyful and never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Greater things take greater prayers to keep praying. As you get older, do you notice that time is different than when you were younger? Does anybody else notice that? Remember when you were younger and they told you to wait 10 minutes, you thought you were going to die? You go to the movies and they're showing the commercials before and all that stuff. You go, I want to see the movie. And it just keeps going on and on and on. The parents are fine, but the kids are going crazy. Like, when are they going to start the movie? And then you get older, and 15 minutes is a blink of the eye, right? Your perception of time is different. God sees time totally different than we do. To him, you know, 1,000 years is but a day. And we want him to do it now. And God says, it's not right. Situation's not right. The timing's not right. You just keep asking. The payoff will be great. Matthew 7:7-8 is a great thing to be thinking about when you're praying. This is the New Living Translation. I like the way it's written. Jesus speaking, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find it. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone, and if you have this, you might want to circle the word everyone, who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. So you just keep knocking, and you keep seeking, and you keep striving until God answers. One of my favorite people in the Old Testament is Jacob. Remember Jacob? Jacob was a person that had really weak character. His name meant deceiver, heel catcher. And he cheated his brother out of his inheritance. He ran away, And God took him through this long period of refining his character. And while he was away, his uncle cheated him. He ended up in a marriage he wasn't really happy with. And there's a lot of stuff that happened. But all the while, in the back of his mind, he was eaten up with guilt about what he did to his brother, his twin brother. He's heading home. He's got to face his brother. And he's thinking, I got to see you do greater things, God. And God shows up in human form. It's either a Christophany, which is Jesus, or a messenger from God. It's still, people are still arguing about this, but it's God's there. And remember what Jacob did all night long? He wrestled. He wrestled with God. It's like, God, I will not let go until you bless me. I refuse to let go till you bless me. And then God did some sort of judo move on him, remember? And he threw his hip out of joint. And Jacob's like having the limp for the rest of his life, but he goes, I will not give up till I get your blessing. And God changed his name to Israel, the one who wrestles with God. And Jacob became one of the leaders of faith because he refused to give up. I want the blessing. I think sometimes God is going, do you really want to see greater things? Will you keep praying and not give up? Will you keep seeking? Will you keep knocking till you see me at work? Or are you just going to quit? Because if you don't really want it, then you can't really handle it. If you don't really want it, then you can't handle it. I'm going to see and show you, are you going to continue to pray? This year, we're calling Devoted 23. We want to be more devoted to Jesus. And we're taking that from Acts 2:42. And it said of that first church several things about them. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, right? This is what they taught as Jesus. And then they devoted themselves to fellowship and the breaking of bread. And then they devoted themselves to prayer. That means that they were persistent about it. So we looked at this verse and said, okay, what are we going to do in 23? And we said, let's do what they did. So we are teaching the apostles' teaching, the book of John, all year long. That's part of what we do. This is why we're doing it. They did it. They were devoted to it. We want to be devoted to it as well. Then this summer we said, okay, they were devoted to fellowship and to breaking bread. So let's do connect events. Let's get people knowing one another. Let's get them hanging out together. Let's get in small groups so we can be devoted to one another. And then said, this fall, let's be devoted to prayer. Let's learn how to pray in a different way. So that's what we're doing. Today, we're having a special time of prayer at 10:30. If you want to hang out, you can love to have you here and just pray. We're going to gather in a circle. If you're online, write in your prayer request. Let us know. We want to pray for you. And then something came up that we're so excited about. We announced it last week. It's called Awaken for Scythe. If you were here, that you heard about it. There's a group of 20 churches in Forsyth County that said, let's pray for everyone by name in our county. 392,000 people. And let's divide them by households, 155,000 households. We said, okay, we'll do it. We'll jump in. We'll try to get 50 people. Let's get 50 people to do that. We'll get 5,000 households to pray for that. So I got the list on Thursday. They gave us 10,000. They believe more than I believe, right? So we're saying, okay, we need you to help us pray 10 minutes a day. That's all it's going to take. We're going to give you a list. You can sign up in the lobby out there. You can sign up through the app. 10 minutes a day, you can be part of something amazing God's going to do. I'm convinced of it. We're going to pray for every household in Forsyth County, every person by name. And you'll just get a list. You'll sit down with the Lord, and you'll say, God, I want to pray for breakthroughs in their life. I don't even know these people, but you do. They got the idea from a guy named Dave Clayton. He's at Ethos Church in Nashville. He went to Africa on a missions trip. It was one of those where you go to go teach people how to follow Jesus. And so he went there. He stayed with a family that went to a church. And he got there and he goes, man, I need to learn from these guys. They're more sold out than our people. And he asked the lady who was, he was staying in someone's house. He goes, your kids, they do devotions for an hour a day. They don't, nobody even tells them to do it. How do you do this? And she goes, it's really simple. We pray and fast. That's our secret. We pray and fast. So he went back to Nashville. He said, okay, we're going to pray for everybody in Nashville, 1.5 million people by name. And it was just their church. And they went to other churches, and people were kind of interested, and they had to get more people involved, and they finally did. And they took about a month to pray for everybody in Nashville, 1.5 million people. And he said there were so many stories. He just shared one that I wanted to share with you. There was a smaller church kind of on the edge of town, right? And they did Wednesday night services. And one Wednesday night, a man walked in. And everybody knows everybody in a smaller church, right? They know they didn't know him. But they didn't know him. So he comes and goes, I'd like to speak to the pastor. And the man there said, I'm the associate pastor. Our pastor's not here. He said, can I talk to you? He said, sure. And he goes, look, I want to be baptized. I want to be baptized. Can you tell me about baptism? So he took about 5 minutes, told him about baptism. He says, can I get baptized right now? And he goes, well, we're getting ready to start this program, but yeah, sure, we got a Baptist. We'll just baptize you right now. That'd be great. So they baptized him and walked out. He said goodbye. That was it, right? On Sunday, the next Sunday, this family comes, this group of people came in, and it's like a small church. So you don't know everybody, right? Somebody walks in, you go, we don't know these people. Who are they? And they went over and they came in, and they go, we want to speak to the guy who baptized that man Wednesday. He goes, well, I'm the guy. They said, that was my husband, the lady said, and these are my kids. And I want you to know that he was being like just convicted by God, and he wanted God to do something in his life. He wanted to just know God. So he came to you, you baptized him. On Friday, he died, and no one knew he was sick. He didn't know he was sick. He just knew he had to get right with God. And they go, we are here today to get to know this God that did that in his life. And it's so cool because this church is going, we're just a tiny little church on the edge of town. And they tracked down this lady who had been praying for this one guy. And the one guy, this lady, she was a single mom. The house was all messed up because she was getting it renovated. So every day she sat at her table and she prayed through the list. And they tracked her down. That's the person. That's the person. And I think that's so cool because that's just one of the stories. And that's why we want to be part of this. We want to see God do something greater in Forsyth County. It's not about us. It's about him. So we need still more people to go, I'll take 10 minutes a day and I'll pray. I'll just take 10 minutes a day. So you can sign up today. We want to see God do greater things. We had a thing, and we're going to reschedule this. The next part of this is we're going to do something called the Embrace Prayer Summit. And that was going to be October 7th. We're having to reschedule it. The gentleman that's going to do that, Neil Wheeler, needs to do a funeral that day. So he called me Friday, and he said, can we move it? I said, we'll find a day. So if you're already signed up for that, we're going to change it. We're going to get it in. Just don't know when. So it's coming. And then the last part of this is November 1st. We're just announcing it now. We're going to do something called Who's Your Seven. We're going to ask you to come up with seven names that people need a breakthrough, that need to see God in greater ways in their life, and you can be one of your seven. And we're just going to take 21 days in November, 1st through the 21st, and pray and fast as a church for seven people, yourself included, if you need a breakthrough, whatever area it is. So for the next 50 days, we're just going to be devoted to prayer. So the question we're going to ask ourselves during this time is, I'm willing to pray through until I have an answer. Whatever it is, bring it before the Lord for the next 50 days, starting next Sunday, October 1st. You can start today if you want to. Am I willing to pray through until I see God at work? Because he has promised to work. Sixth and last one, we'll wrap up with this. If you want to see God do greater things, it brings you to a place of surrender. It brings you to a place of surrender. Jesus said, you're going to do the work that I do and even greater. What's the greatest work that Jesus did? Was on the cross. And he went to the cross to defeat death and sin and to give us life. But to get there, he had to pray the prayer of surrender. A few hours after what we just read, Jesus took his disciples out to the garden. And he says, you guys hang out and pray. I'm going to go over there and pray. He prayed the same thing three times. Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. It's the prayer of surrender. God, I'm willing to pray that because I think you want to do something great in my life, but it requires my surrender. Jesus, his human self, said, I don't want to go through the cross. I don't want to take on the sins, but I'll do it if it's your will. I think for us, there might be something greater there that we have to go through to get there. We don't want to. We don't know what it is. Maybe it's planning. Maybe it's sacrifice. Maybe it's the time where you're going, I've been afraid of this, but I know there's something greater, so I'm going to push through and see it, and I'm going to surrender to whatever you want me to do. God, I need you to work. So the question to ask is this, am I fully surrendered to God? Am I fully surrendered to God in every aspect? And trust that he's going to work through you to get there. Do you believe that God wants greater things for you? Do I believe it? If so, pray the prayer surrender. I'm going to pray now, and then we're going to prepare for a different kind of prayer. We always have the prayer team over here. During communion today, we're going to invite you to come up. If you want to pray for yourself or someone else, the elders will be up here, prayer team will be up here, different people will be up here just to pray for you. Communion's still on either side, but be thinking about that. If there's something you want prayer for specifically, then we'll be here after the service. I mean, during communion time, after the service and at 10:30, we want to pray for you. We want you to see God's greatest in your life. Again, it doesn't have to be for you, for someone else, but just come. Come humbly, just come seeking, come ready to see God at work. So let's pray. I'll introduce communion and then we'll take a time of prayer. Father God, I thank you for your word. Thank you for what you're doing and all that you said about prayer. In some ways it's a mystery how you listen, how you know what you're doing. But you promise that you do listen. And if we ask for your will, we know you're going to do it. And I pray for anyone here today that maybe is seeking a breakthrough of some kind. They want to see you do greater things, and they're just hungry and thirsty for that, for themselves or someone else. I pray that we'll take a step of faith and just come forward and pray. And then we pray that we'll seek you, and we'll wait for you to answer, and we'll look every day expectant, and we'll pray until you work, because we trust you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. When you come up in just a second for communion, just remember this verse. It says, let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. That's what communion's about. It's what prayer's about. It's coming before the throne boldly, seeking God, again, for yourself or other people. So if that's you today, we're just going to be up front. Just come, just tell us what you want prayer for and we'll pray over you. If you just want to take time on your own, communion's on either side, and you can come up when you're ready and do that. So I'm just going to invite you to come now. Invite the elders to come on up, the prayer team to come on up. Come on up now, elders and prayer team, come and stand up front. And then you guys come when you're ready to receive communion or prayer. We'll be right up here to pray with you. And then when everyone's done, we'll return to some worship.